This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
USAA. Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds Gummy Clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Australian survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Titans v Rebels. I'm your host Shannon Gus, here to talk about week 7, the penultimate week. It all ends next week somehow, and we're going to talk about another fun week of the show in what is really becoming truly one of the best seasons of Australian Survivor, if not all of Survivor. It's been such a fun ride and I have such a great guest to talk about it with, someone who knows a lot about endgame dynamics in the most intricate ways, someone who was a star of Survivor 43. It is the great Jesse Lopez. Jesse, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to finally get to talk Australian Survivor with you. I know we were originally going to talk about it for Heroes versus Villains and then something came up. So I'm very excited that I actually get to talk with you about this season in particular because it's been so good.
Yeah, I love that you've been loving it. I feel like everyone has been loving it, to be fair. It's a pretty cold take. I don't know that there are many detractors from this season, which I guess speaks to the quality of how amazing it's been. But Jesse, before we get into it all, how have you been going? I know Rob gets to talk to you a lot, but for the international listeners, how's everything been in the last bit since you were on Survive yourself?
I mean, everything's been pretty much going back to normal. I mean, other than like, I don't know. So like I got the CEO award after my season, which feels like so long ago at this point. It's been like 2 seasons already. So it's been a while. So I got the CEO award. My son ended up competing on a Mr. Beast challenge, which was really fun. Yeah. And so like there's been all of these different like crazy things that have happened since Survivor, but also it's very like much gone back to normal. I'm at work every day, you know, looking at a computer, 9 to 5 kind of deal. So it's this weird sort of like normal, but also not normal because all of these wild things have happened.
I love that it's called the SIA Award and we just like made it that like it's something so official.
I kind of want to know who actually coined, like, who was the first person to call it the Sia Award.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an award judged by one person, and that person is Sia. It's just a crazy thing. That's always been my favorite thing about, like, describing the Sia Award to a non-Survivor fan shows how deep in the hole we all are with this fandom, because it doesn't sound regular. That's not a normal thing that a pop star, an Australian pop star, by the way. So I'm glad that you're here for the Australian recap, because look at what Australia's done for you. But yeah, an Australian pop star chooses favorites of every US Survivor season and then gives them random allotments of money, and we all just expect it. That's crazy. Like, that's a crazy thing. But we've all, like, yeah, the fact that we've just, yeah, accepted that, I think just shows how truly deranged the fandom has become.
Yeah, no, I have to tell people at my job, like, what happened after Survivor. They're like, anything cool happened? I'm like, well, Sia gave me $100,000.
Yeah. They're like, Sia? From yeah, Chandelier? Like, that's yeah, insane. Like,
that's exactly the question that comes out next is, from Chandelier? I'm like, yeah. Yes. Australia has given me so much. It's given me Sia, who gave me this $100,000. It's also given me Bluey, which is constantly on loop at my house.
Yes, from what I understand, all parents love Bluey. I even watched a couple episodes of Bluey, and I don't have kids. So Australia's given you, in no particular order, $100,000 by Sia, Bluey, this season of Australian Survivor, Titans v Rebels. Like, you're so welcome. We're a great
family. I know. I need to go visit.
Yeah, 100%. You know to hit me up when you do. But okay, well, tell me about it, because what is your history with Australian Survivor? I know that you watched last season, you were a fan of that. Is that when you got into it, or have you seen more seasons, or what's your history with it?
No, so I actually was, so when I applied for Survivor back in 2019, went through the whole casting process, got on, was like a week away from flying out, and then COVID hit and everything shut down. And so I got the call that, like, hey, we're not filming until COVID is basically over. I kind of still had the itch for Survivor, and I had already watched all the US seasons. Winners at War had finally finished up, and I was like, what else could I watch? And then I found out there's Australian Survivor. And so that sort of started me down that path. But I don't think, so I have not watched all of the seasons. I'm spoiled on, like, all of them, but I did watch the one where Jericho wins and the one where Pia wins. And then obviously I watched All Stars. And then I think I skipped George's original season, but don't tell George. and then obviously Heroes versus Villains, and which has brought us to this very amazing season.
Yeah. And so give me your kind of macro thoughts on this season and who you're liking and your feelings about it.
I feel like, so, like you said, this isn't like a hot take, but, like, it's not a hot take to say that this is a great season. Is it a hot take at this point to say that this might be, like, a top 10 season of Survivor globally?
I don't even think that's a hot take right now, to be honest. People are saying that it's better than Heroes versus Villains, which people were saying was, like, a top 5 season. I think your mileage may vary, you know, as I was saying with Mike, you know, in terms of, you know, people like me, I like returnee seasons. If you want to go to newbie seasons, I mean, this is like a near flawless newbie season. So if that's your kind of, you know, the thing that you favor, then that's going to be very high up. Even for me, and I prefer returnee seasons, this is like I'd have to do the rankings, but this is like an all-time season. I don't know that is a hot take now, which is crazy. It's crazy.
It's actually up there for, like, I can't think of, like, another newbie season that is this sort of, like, it's just so dynamic. I don't think there's been a single miss in terms of casting. Like, every single person has something to, like, bring to the table, whether it's, like, Kirby and Ferris or Raymond, Mark, like, Carol, like, they all have something about them that has just made me, I mean, even, like, going back further with some of the Cuddle Alliance, right? Like, the ones that didn't make it very far, right? Like, they still had something to offer.
Remember their names, but
Tobias. But it was Tobias. Okay, yeah. Tobias maybe not. All
Tobias right. might have been a bit of a miss. A little bit. I mean, but Peter has something to offer. She was everyone's winner pick, okay? Way back when, Peter had something.
Maybe recency bias has got me, but, like, I feel like this is a very strong season. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact that it's so fluid. It's like so oddly fluid. People are willing to like vote against each other one vote and then completely like forget about that by the next vote. And I'm always of the like belief, and like I've always taken like the approach to Survivor where it's like, if you like are like flip on me, not even blindside me and send me home, but like flip on me and vote opposite of me, I don't think that I should trust you, right? Like the next time around. Like, but like this season, it doesn't seem to matter. They're just like, each individual tribal is like its own thing.
There's a reason that I've compared it to, like, well, on Talking Tribal, we had a psychic crab to see who would
win. I saw that.
Yeah. So I said, maybe the crab is deciding the alliances. I've said a spinning wheel might be deciding the alliances, because I'm an idiot, Jesse. Last week with Raymond, I mean, look, he should not have gotten rid of Ferris, and I will say that to my dying day, and maybe not even Kirby, but in terms of, I was like, well, he at least is building something with Kirby and Rihanna and Ferris, and then I was like, but maybe not, because in the season, you don't build, you just destruct it the next day. And like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me seven or more times, shame on me again. You know, the fact that I thought they'd build anything, and then they get to the next day, and it's like, now it's gender lines. I'm like, why? Why is it gender lines? Like, at least there was some semblance of, I understood where the pairs all sat. Like, okay, at least it's like, I know now that Mark's with Alex, that makes sense. I've seen that relationship, you know, evolve and, you know, lose some stuff in the middle, but then come back. Like, I've seen that, I get that. And then Ferris and Raymond speaks for itself. Kitty and Caroline, they're back. Yeah, they're fine. Rihanna and Kirby.
Kirby and Rihanna, yeah.
But why is it in gender lines? It honestly just felt like they were screwing.
That came out of nowhere. That was
exactly. So, I mean, look, Mark calls it, you know, common interests. And I'm like, no, it's just random groups settling into often even plurality votes, which is what I've said before, and threatening to go to rocks. That's the theme of the season, but it's super, super fun.
I don't care.
They really, building is not the vibe of the season. It's so fluid. Like, we've been through, like, the post-merge, it didn't have one, still to this day, 9 votes in, it has not had one vote carry through 2 tribal councils. It has been relentless. I can't imagine being out there, because just covering it has been headache inducing in the best way. But we get to this final 5 that I think in tough competition maybe is my favorite Australian Survivor final 5. Like, the fact that we could get Kirby and Ferris in what has been, Rob and I said, the best newbie dynamic probably in global Survivor history. And Mark and Caroline, who are like the mirror image Titan version of that like complex frenemy relationship. And they both pairs and Raymond make it to the final 5. I don't know that there's better. Like you mentioned Pia's season. That's probably the closest for me, because that's like Pia, Baden, Harry, Luke, Abby. That's a good final 5. And then the brains draw on that is, spoiler alert, sorry, but Haley and George, that was such a great final 2. Flick, she was bringing a lot. Kara and Wei. There's stuff there, but I think this is it. I think this is like the best final 5 in Australian Survivor history for me, my favorite. And yeah.
Is it the best final 5 in all of Survivor?
Probably the way you look at that is like a newbie season. Because obviously with the returning seasons, like, no, not compared to like Sandra, Parvati, Russell, you know, like Rupert and Colby, I guess. I don't know. Maybe actually. But I'm sure there are like returning seasons where, I don't know, actually, Winners at War. So maybe it is. You know, you look at like Kageyan, that was a pretty good final 5 as well. Off the top of my head, difficult. But honestly, is it the best like in season final 5 from what we were given without any like other history?
I really try and be like conscious of like recency bias, but like this season, it's so like good that it's hard to separate out whether it's like really this good or it's just like we're in the moment. But I feel like this is like it's one of the best final 5s.
I'm also realizing I just gave the wrong Heroes versus Villains final 5, and people are yelling at their phones in their car because I skipped Sherry Manthi and I put Rupert in the final 5. Maybe the Heroes versus Villains final 5, but this is a good final 5. This is really good. This is incredible to get Kirby and Ferris here today to the finale. Kirby,
yeah, no, who would have thought? Who would have thought? I thought they were gonna like go. Nah, I never would have thought that they would have made it this far.
Yeah, so unbelievable.
I think that's also so. Like, I think like not only the fluidity of the season, but like the fact that they are just so vocal at like tribal. And just like, so there's been so many moments where I'm just like, wow, like everybody's being just so like cards on the table, like just shooting straight. It's wild.
Yeah, I feel like Kirby's been a big part of that. And let's kind of talk through this week and go kind of chronologically through, because at the very beginning of this week, I was like, this is classic Kirby. Like Alex comes in and is like, can we, you know, put the guns down? And she's like, we cannot. Like, who would do that? who would think that that's what to do in a social game? For Kirby, it works. Like, I think her bluntness brings people in. Like, the fact that she, like, had Kitty to a degree through this. Like, who is this person? But, yeah, just the Alex conversation when they're talking through the Peter vote. And I'm thinking about her relationship with Alex, where she put so much on Alex. And if you think about it, she did the decoy vote, you know, where she's, like, to trick the Cuddle Crew, to trick someone like Alex. And then... Mm-hmm. voted against him on the split and now is like, well, there's just too big a divide. Yeah, you created that. Like, she really pissed off everyone in those first two votes. She betrayed every person. Like, it's a wonder that she had any social capital left, and she did, which is a credit to her superhuman aura, I think. But yeah, the fact that she's sitting there with Alex and putting it on him and not even just being like, yeah, giving him a cursory fake just a fake reach of her arm in any way to this man, and she won't do it. It was just, yeah, I felt like that really put the week really in perspective from the very beginning.
He just had to walk away at that point. I just remember watching him walk away. He like even looks at Ferris, who's like standing there, and just like, is this for real? And then he just walks away. He just gives up. Yeah, no, that was so, like, Alex's vote was like a fun episode, and I think this is where the gender alliance came up, right? Like, yeah. Alex's grand idea was like, there's 8 people left, 4 women, 4 men. I know the best possible way to take control of this game. It's to go to a 4-4, you know, men's versus women sort of dynamic here. And I thought that was a very interesting approach by Alex.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I feel like he got the guys. He and Mark, to Mark's credit. I felt like Ferris was in, and we'll talk about like the tribal council meltdown that possibly pushes that away, I think. But then he gets the opportunity of the spa reward and makes choices that Mark has just cautioned him against.
Yeah, exactly.
That I felt like, I mean, it goes without saying that it went so poorly, but there was something there that he really could have possibly achieved something. Like, he could really take Ferris, Raymond, and Caroline, leave Mark back to babysit, as we've just seen in US Survivor, the babysitter, which Mark is happy to be. It's such a great situation. It's actually such an easy reward choice. Like, I know that delineates it into really clear lines that might be a little bit too transparent, but that's his best bet at the moment. And that would have been really interesting. Like, I felt like the reward choices that he made, firstly, in taking Ree and Kirby, who's just told him, like, I will never work with you, and trying to do it to like lull them into a false sense of security, was underrating Kirby, I think, to a large degree. He wants to like get them kind of like fed and drinking and vulnerable, and then he's the one who ends up like, you know,
he had to be drunk, right? Like, he was drunk.
Yeah, he was the one who fell into it, which was unfortunate. Like, Kirby gives him nothing. He asks her, and she turns it around on him. Like, she's got her wall up against him so much, it was never going to work. And then the interesting thing was taking Caroline as well, because that means that he can't work on Caroline because he's doing this, like, fake plan with Kirby. And not even Mark can work on Caroline back at camp. Like, he doesn't even leave the group that it should be with Mark back at camp and take, like, a kitty and, like, let them all be too hungover to do the challenge tomorrow, maybe, or just, like, you know, really strengthen Ree. But I felt, yeah, it was like a hybrid model of the worst kind, where it wasn't going to work on Kirby. And he also, in such a pivotal kind of swing vote that Caroline becomes, no one gets that time with her to really work on her. And later we see that getting her away from Kitty is an issue, you know, and getting that conversation time with her is an issue. So I feel like he lost an opportunity to either leave her back with Mark to do that, take Kitty, or better, like, take the people you want to work with and have that conversation with Ferris, Raymond, and Caroline at the spa.
Yeah, I felt like this whole episode was just like Alex sort of imploding, like his game just sort of like falling apart. Not to say that he had like this sort of like game built up anyway, but like, he was going about this whole like 4-person alliance with the guys, and then he stops to ask, like, during the challenge, to ask, like you said, to ask Mark, like, who should I take? Mark gives him his thoughts and advice, and he just dismisses it.
Yeah.
Takes Kirby, who I think, like, I think I recall Kirby walking up to him as she was picked and saying something to the effect of, like, I'm still coming for you, or I'm still going to vote you, or something. I think I caught that.
I think she said she wouldn't vote for him, maybe. That's what okay. Maybe, but knowing Kirby, I wouldn't.
Honestly,
like, I'm taking on the spot, like, you're still gone. Like, that's the Kirby way. She's very blunt.
And then it leads to the most, like, awkward, I feel like, reward setup that I've seen in a long time. Just with him sort of, like, showering and, like, just being so, like, so Kirby, who do you want to go after? Or something, like, what's the name kind of deal. He was, like, so direct and, like, not, like, it wasn't, like, I don't know if he had already had too much to drink or something, but it was just very awkward. And honestly, I'm surprised he did not lose a nipple, because the sound effects on that shaving were just next level. But yeah, no, it was a really rough episode for him. The reward did not swing his the whole reward spa retreat with them was just awkward, and I don't think he got any traction there. I'm actually kind of surprised, and we don't have to jump ahead, but I'm actually kind of surprised that you think he did have Ferris and Raymond, because I'm sort of the opposite belief.
Yeah. I mean, I'm keen to get that information from them at a point in deep dive.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I felt like he had them, I don't feel like he had Caroline. So at the 4-4, which again, it's not a great option. I guess that's why he, like, feels like he has to go down swinging. He didn't think he had Ferris as well. But even if he does have Ferris and Raymond, again, he doesn't have a majority. So there might be something to blowing up Tribal Council in a better way, which we can talk through, rather than the way that he does it. But I felt like he had Ferris because we kind of do get, like, broad statements from Ferris in confessional. They don't necessarily paint to the fact that he would do it, but more just kind of, like, around kind of, like, Kirby and the target. But then it was, like, there was a conversation between Raymond and Ferris where they really did seem to be weighing it up. So that was interesting to me. And then at Tribal Council, no one is telling Ferris that he needs to say, like, how do you not know that I was with you? Like, he probably shouldn't say that regardless, let alone if he wasn't with him. You know, why indicate that to Kirby, who it seems at this point is definitely still going to be in the game once we all turn on Alex. So he did say with his words, like, I was with you coming into this. And he said that publicly. That was what made me feel like he had it. But it is interesting because obviously at the point where Ferris can't go for Rihanna, which is his, what he wants to do, and it has to be Kirby. I don't know that Ferris wants to necessarily push that. I think Raymond probably does, but I still think just based on his mannerisms and the way he was acting that he was with Alex going into Tribal Council.
Interesting. I felt like he was sort of, yeah, I think that maybe it was just because we didn't see, like, any confessionals where he, like, I felt like he was, like, very strong in his conviction about getting out, you know, working with Alex on this. And then at the end, like, we got his voting confessional where he was like, so he had, like, a specific order that he wanted to
go in.
Yeah,
he said, like, I'm coming for them next. Yeah,
but not right now or something.
Yeah.
And so that voting confessional made me feel like it wasn't a spur of the moment kind of decision. So
I see
that. I just think he had a rough.
Either way. Yeah.
Alex, I think, was just in a rough spot. And I don't think there was really much climbing out of this. He never really got his footing.
Yeah. Yeah, if they all weren't with him, then, like, he didn't really, you know, change anything at Tribal Council. If Ferris was with him, obviously he lost those votes. I mean, I think, obviously, attacking Caroline and Ferris wasn't going to be the way to go. I do think that it did leave a mark on Caroline that will play out after Alex is gone, which we'll talk about in the way that she kind of, like, approaches that last vote that we've seen. But I feel like maybe he could have put it more just on Kirby. Like, how much of Kirby is a threat? Like, at that point, if you're trying to especially pull over someone like Caroline, if she's kind of that swing vote, maybe it's just more on that rather than having to blow everyone up. But yeah, there's probably not a lot here for Alex, because I feel like it's hard for Ferris. I think Ferris should be voting out Alex. Like, we'll talk about kind of Ferris's timing and threat management through this, but I think Ferris had a great week. Like, I think that Ferris, if anything, should be a target for many people, and he wasn't. If anything, he has decision-making power, like, in this vote, and can kind of really choose his his pacing through the game because he has social options, which is, I think, such a credit to him. For everyone else, like, they should be going for Kirby. Like, there is a lot of, like, actual merit, I think, in Kitty, Caroline. Obviously, Mark wants to, he does vote for Kirby. But even Raymond's, like, attached to Ferris. But there is something there for, like, the kind of lesser threats to try and take out the, like, the Ferris-Kirby duo, I think. And I think it's hard because, obviously, they each have a pair. So that then becomes a plurality where it would just be on the Titans. But there's really something there around Kirby just being such a big threat. And he can't bring them to that. And that might be more on them. But there's something, I think, very real there. But I just think that, like, you know, Ferris as an option, he's so well insulated. And even Kirby at this point is so well insulated with someone like Ferris and that kind of, like, dual shielding that they're doing, that it makes it really hard for him. So was it handled well? No. Was it a tough spot? It was. So it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think his read was right. Like, obviously, like, we all, like, see it, and that Kirby is, like, the huge threat, right? Like, she has this sort of traction if she gets to the end with any of them. And we can talk about this later, but, like, if she gets to the end, I feel like she has, like, the best chance of winning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only competitor, like, I could see, like, giving her, like, a run for her money is Ferris. But I just think, like, so he had a good read. I just think it was, his approach was not the greatest.
Yeah. It's hard because for Ferris, it's about the timing of how far can he push these shields without taking it too far that they then win a couple of challenges and then someone like Kirby wins the game, which is something that, like, Tony had with Spencer. It's like, how far am I going to push this to take this? So for someone like Ferris, I think he has options and we'll talk through that. But Alex is, like, a perfect buffer vote. I mean, it is the final eight. That is far back, whether it's a final two or a final three, which we can talk about. That's too early to take out someone like a Kirby. So pushing it then and then having Rihanna as a physical threat to take out and then having kind of the option of Kirby and kind of the attention on that, I think is really good. And I don't think it's a bad thing for him at all that Kirby has kind of won through to this point, especially if it's a final two, so that he has shield options as well as his other options, the idol, social options, the loyalty of someone like Raymond. So for him, it's perfect, I think, to just kind of have this clear buffer round, someone that everyone wants to take out, and then let's, like, push these shields a bit later and really start, like, playing that, like, delicate tightrope of how far you take a shield when you're the second biggest threat like Ferris is.
Yeah. Do you think Caroline and Kitty could have worked with Alex here, like, to take out Kirby?
I think they should have, but I don't know that they have the votes because I think it necessitates Raymond, and I don't think that Ferris should or necessarily would do that.
Yeah.
It seems like he was going to. If they could get to a point where Ferris was going to, then yeah, I 100% think that all the Titans have a lot to take out these threats and get to, like,
a
fairly even final six. If they take out Kirby and Ferris, like, this is an interesting conversation around people who all kind of have jury pitfalls where there aren't these two kind of clear threats. So if that's the target for them, it should be. But I think it relies from an optimal standpoint on someone like Raymond, who possibly should do that. And then from a game perspective, if Ferris was willing to, then yeah, I think that was an interesting option for them. But for even someone like Raymond might want to take it a little bit dicier, like keep going down with his people, to, like I said last week, he shouldn't take out a Kirby, but now he's not working with Kirby. But I think, like, if he wants to take it a little further, especially if it's a final two, there's something interesting around, like, cutting Kirby at five and cutting Ferris at four or three. Like, again, that's really dicey. And that's, like, a shield strategy of being an even lesser target than Ferris, but, like, there is something there for Raymond. So he might even want to push it a bit further. So it's weird because they are such big threats in Kirby and Ferris, but it feels like there wasn't enough kind of mutual interest, as Mark would say, where there should be, you would think, but there was enough mutual interest to kind of start taking those shots at them and even at Kirby this early on.
Yeah, I think a lot. I think it is, maybe it is because of the fact that there are these pairs, or at least, you know, Ree's no longer there at this point, but at that stage, there were these pairs. Like, Raymond's thinking that, like, eventually they'll come for Ferris and I'll be sort of left over or something like that. And then Ree, you know, she has immunity, but, like, that's probably in her mind as well. And, like, Caroline even is thinking, like, they're going to come for Furby before they're going to come for me. So, yeah, I think that's probably what is preventing the sort of, like, lesser threats from being able to get on the same page and taking out those bigger threats right now.
Yeah, I do think a lot of it is around timing, and that timing can be hard if they don't know if it's a final three or two, which we can talk through. But I do also think that you need to weigh up, like, am I someone who needs a shield and should be like playing this interesting waiting game like Ferris? Or am I someone who is going to struggle in a final tribal council and now needs to think about taking out big threats, adding to resume, which was kind of like the word of the week, and really like elevating my game to a point where I can sit at the end with people who I will beat? And at that, I think for a lot of them, you know, probably all of the Titans at this point, they should be looking at taking out big threats and then just, you know, battling it out to the end. And they don't need as much of a shield as definitely someone like Ferris does. So no, I think it's interesting, but I think it just depends on kind of like where you sit in the game. But yeah, look, Alex was a lot of fun. How did you feel about Alex by the end of this? Because I feel like he really evolved through the season. Maybe not strategically as much, although maybe a little bit, but as a character, you know, I really warmed to Alex.
Yeah, I think he was a lot of fun. I think he could be the next host of U.S. Survivor if he wanted, the way he ran that tribal council. I think that Jonathan, like, did not speak it. I mean, he had, like, maybe, like, two lines the entire tribal council. It was basically Alex running that tribal council. He was a lot of fun. Yeah, I did his wine, and his wine confessional was great. Spinning the wine and very confident about how he was about to get the information he needed from Kirby and how he was gonna pull one over on her, only to end up going home later that night.
Yeah, I mean, look, we do have iconic wine confessionals. You think about Mike White, wasn't necessarily confessional, was it? But I remember him saying good luck to Angelina, Emily wine. We have robe confessionals. That's a big part of the Spa Award. But is this the first, and this is what I need the fact checkers to let me know, is this the first robe wine confessional? Because it was a great last hurrah for a character that ended up being a lot of fun. And I said this to him in the X interview, which was also really enjoyable. I took way too much time, but in the middle Alex was like, what do you think of this movie? Like, we kind of like got into a bit of a chat, which was great. But yeah, he was in a way something like the Simon of the season. But it that energy was because when anything went wrong, he would just kind of laugh along with it. And it was more about like Simon's run last year was historically tragic, more than Alex, even with, you know, incorrect votes. But I always said like Simon alone could have made this a really sad season. Like if Simon is taking this in a really, really kind of negative way, the season could feel a little toxic. But because he always like had a smile on his face and was so much fun, like he made the season fun. And I feel like Alex, it's a lesser version of that, but there's something incredibly enjoyable about someone who will kind of just like roll with the punches and like take it on the chin and really just have fun with it. So I feel like he was, you know, a very enjoyable character by the end. But we get into the second vote, and this is such an interesting one for me because now Kirby is the threat, and that, you know, Rhee is going to end up being another target once she's immune. And like, this is my theory of the whole week, Jesse, and let me know if you agree. Why is no one targeting Ferris? I'm that so impressed with Ferris. Like at this point, he has an idol still.
That's the thing.
How does he still
have an
idol? I didn't
hear anybody talk about it until like the most recent episode, like the Alex episode and the Rhee episode. I don't feel like it came up. It's almost like people have forgotten.
Well, I don't know that they've forgotten. I think they don't believe it, to the point where like in the middle of the week, I was like, did the idol expire? And they didn't tell us. Like, that's truly how I felt it went.
Yeah.
Because no one was talking about it. The thing about the idol is that I think he's used it so well for implicit immunity. Like, it has definitely given him implicit immunity. We saw it at the Jaden vote. We saw them say his name and say, oh, we can't. Might have an idol. Probably has an idol. But it's also something people don't believe. And I asked Rihanna about this in her exit interview because at Jury Villa, she was saying that she didn't believe it. Alex, who's worked with Ferris in a more collaborative way, he believes it. But I feel like Ferris has had the best of both worlds where it hasn't put that huge threat level where like Alex wearing the idol or Rihanna finding it really publicly had that much of a target on it. But also, there's also always been the whispers and the murmurs. Like, he's used that so, so well, and it has gotten his name out of it. But you have the ability to flush a possible idol here. And like the whole week, I felt like Ferris, maybe even more than Kirby if he has an idol, maybe could be the threat. But here where Kirby is immune and then it's still going to go to Rhee, and I get that weakening Kirby, there's some pros there. It's certainly great for Ferris. But otherwise, I feel like the move so much, and I want to talk about it from the Titans' perspective, but the move for the Titans is to go to Rhee and Kirby and be like, you want to save Rhee? We got 5 votes to 2. 3-2-2 split. Ferris is either out the door with his idol, or at least Raymond's out the door and his idol's out the door. We can get a lot done today and you can save Rhi. Like, I feel like this was the perfect opportunity, and it's crazy to me that it didn't happen. And some of that has to be a credit to Ferris, but also I want to know why this wasn't the option, because it feels like it's just like screaming to me that that's what it should be.
Yeah, no, I feel like the last three episodes I watched with my wife and my son, and we were all just screaming the whole time. Like, basically, like, why are they not splitting on Ferris and Raymond? Like, that's the move to get him to flush. Whether or not you think for sure he has it, just the fact that you think he might have it, I feel like is reason enough to split. You can take out, break up a pair, and potentially flush an idol, right? Like, that is, I don't understand the rationale at this point. And yeah, it got to the point where I thought that people honestly forgot that he had an idol. I think I had to go back and look and see if he confirmed it in one of the previous episodes. And unless it was his first idol that he was confirming, he does like straight up at camp tell somebody that, like,
he tells them they have an idol.
Yeah, he tells them he has the idol.
He hasn't shown it. I don't think he's ever shown it. Yeah.
But still, I just I can't wrap my head around it. And I think I've seen on Twitter people say, like, is this like a Xander situation? Yeah. And I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it is. Like, I don't think it's like the belief that Ferris is gonna not get any votes at the end, like if he makes it there kind of deal, and like don't worry about him kind of thing. I think that he is a threat, and I think that people like him and want to work with him, and it's really just about like him being really good at the social game, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's a Xander thing. For what it's worth, when this was happening with Xander, I did think that Xander was a threat, so maybe I'm wrong twice. But I said, even if he's not a threat, Xander was also like quite a big physical threat. I still would want to eliminate someone who I felt was blocking up the end game, possibly with an idol, and, you know, taking away some of those immunities. Where someone like Ferris, if he's going to be immune at the final five, like, now it feels like everything's a little more claustrophobic for everyone else. Like, even just that power. And he clearly has a lot of, like, social capital and like, political capital at this point. So even that is threatening. And I really don't think that it's a, well, let him get to the end, we'll beat him. I really don't think that. I think that we'll talk about it when we talk about predictions. I think Ferris would beat anyone but Kirby. I think that we keep hearing about kind of resumes and that kind of mentality that the jury's thinking of, and Ferris has had it all. He's been the underdog. He's like a big bombastic player. I find him so likable. I mean, maybe it's like a juror like Valeria might disagree, but I feel like there's so much there. He's got the mayor of Jury Villa advocating for him and Eileen. Like, he has a lot there, and he has a lot to speak to, I think. So I don't feel like it's a Xander thing at all. I think that this is a big miss on everyone. Like, I'm impressed with Ferris for getting through this week with his idol, which is crazy. I'm impressed with Kirby for getting through it in her own way by setting herself a difficult task and then winning as she needs to. And I'm kind of down on everyone else, maybe less so Raymond, who, again, might be channeling a little bit of a tighter path with some allies and cutting, you know, a really close ally in Ferris, like at the very end. But I'm pretty low on everyone else for allowing them or failing in getting them out, like allowing them to get through, because I think that that really limits them. And I think they just have, so many options. So this was the time for me, like, especially when Rihanna is the target, it's the time then now Kirby has a reason where she might need to work with you against Ferris. But here's my question. Is that what Kirby should do? Because she's essential. That's a 5-2 split, or it's a 4-3 no split. And actually giving her the information would really give Ferris a lot of power. So it's about trusting Kirby to work against Ferris, but to save Rhi, this would really be like an interesting choice for Kirby. Do you think that she should choose Rhi over Ferris at that point, or Ferris over Rhi?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so she wants, right, like her and Ferris are viewing each other as shields. Mm-hmm. I don't know if necessarily the best move for her at this point that we're talking about right now, would be to get rid of Ferris, but I could see like incentive for her to get rid of Raymond and like for the Titans to pitch like a Raymond, right? Like, so they're going to try and split it. The idea would be to split it on Raymond and Ferris. They could pitch like, we don't have to get rid of Ferris. Like, we could get rid of Raymond kind of deal. Cause that's essentially the opposite. Essentially what ends up happening with Ferris getting rid of Rhi, right? Kirby's right hand person. So I could see that being in her like interest and that getting pitched to her and her going for it. I don't know if she would be willing to get rid of Ferris though.
The thing for me is for the Titans, if it's between Raymond and Rihanna and they're both right hands of these big threats and you can't go for Ferris for this reason that Kirby won't do it and you can't go for Kirby because she's immune, I'd rather just take out Rihanna. Like, she's a much bigger physical threat. Like, at that point, I feel like that's the target. So for me, if I'm the Titans, I'm like, we're either flushing his idol or he's going home with his idol. Like, he needs to be the primary target. And I don't feel like she should be playful with that, go back to Ferris, get him to play the idol, because I think Ferris could blow it up. I think this plan needs to be pretty clear and pretty strong. I think she needs to make a choice between Rihanna and Ferris, and I feel like the Titan should have offered her that specific choice and have it not be Raven and have it be this level of big move. But I actually think that she could keep Rihanna. I don't know. I mean, look, Ferris is protecting her to a point, but Rhi said she would have gone to the end with Kirby in my exit interview with her. Like, Rhi is someone who could win challenges to take her through and is still possibly a bit of a physical shield. Ferris is, yeah, there's some protection there, but it's limited. And it feels like if she hadn't won immunity at 6, he like still would have come for her. In saying that, even if like Ferris goes at 7, the Titans and Raymond might just vote her out. I think Kirby's in a hard spot regardless, but like if it's kind of marginal either way and she really wants to keep her ride or die in Rhi, she could probably just do it. There are enough pros to keeping something of a physical shield and an ally who will take you to the end for me, and you just want to do it. I think I could. I think that there's something there, even though there are also pros to keeping Ferris, but I think that she'd be between like her two best allies and given the choice of that. And I think that maybe she should choose Rhi. So
yeah, I guess if the choice is like, yeah, if the choice is binary, right, between Ferris and Rhi,
yeah,
then I mean, we see what the outcome is when it was Rhi, right? Like, she's kind of having to keep winning, right? Like, after Rhi goes home in terms of immunity, like, she's on the chopping block. Like, they don't seem to be wanting to work with her. So she has to win. But I am curious, like, so like if they did pitch that idea, right, and then she's like, yeah, I'm down, let's get rid of Ferris, does the target then just move to her anyway?
If Ferris goes.
Yeah.
I think it like does.
Like, she's in the same sort of situation.
But at least she got to keep Rhi. Like, at least she got to keep her best friend. That's what I'm saying. If she's in a tough spot anyway, like, at least you get to keep Rhi.
But then Rhi might win the immunity.
Yeah, but Rhi's a physical threat. That's true. And that is a bit of a con. So that actually might be a
good Her friend's not going to give her the necklace.
I know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think that actually might tip it over. It's true. If she has to kind of pretty much win out either way, then maybe losing Rhi is not the worst thing from a physical standpoint. So maybe that is it. I think it is quite marginal. I think there's something there. And maybe that is what it is. Maybe the Titans know that Kirby will choose Ferris over anyone, even Rhi, and then there is no split. And that's not on them. That's just a very unfortunate situation. And that's also the position that Ferris has put himself in, which is such a huge credit to him, where he's that insulated. That Kirby would prioritize him and Raymond's prioritizing him. That's just a lot of capital this far in the game. Because I want to ask you about this kind of conversation around beating the best, something a conversation's been had so many times in Survivor history. You obviously chose that you would get rid of, you know, your big competitor and your ally in Cody. So do you have thoughts on kind of this as a mentality in the game?
Beating the best, going to the end with the best and duking it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, so I think this is like a philosophy that some people have when it comes to playing Survivor. Me personally, at least, going out there, I was not a fan of that philosophy. I think that I would rather, you know, get to the end and know that I'm like 90% gonna win than get to the end and have this 50-50 coin flip where, you know, if I lose, I'm going to wonder what else I could have done. Like, what other move I could have made, who else I could have cut, kind of deal. I think a lot of people say things like, you have to get to the end to win, kind of deal. So, like, don't make too many big moves, or don't, like, cut the big people, you know, keep those big people around and just duke it out at the end, kind of deal. I know that James has said things like that before. But I think, like, my philosophy is, like, I would rather not get to the end and lose, kind of thing. But that might be controversial, right? Like, I clearly, I like, you know, how it worked out is Cody went, Carla went, and then I went, and I did not win, kind of deal. So,
did I say final five for you and Cody? It was final six. What is wrong with
that? It was final six.
So interesting because it's a pretty similar predicament that I feel like someone like Ferris has around timing and Shield. So it's kind of like a perfect week for you to discuss it because I feel like it's really interesting. I mean, strategically, it's interesting. It's crazy that it could be a controversial take that, like, you don't, on pure principle, like, you don't take the best to the end.
I don't want to take the best to the end because I don't want to potentially lose. I want to, like, do the best I can to maximize my, like, opportunity of winning at the end, kind of deal. I mean, but in terms of this case, like, I would love for Kirby and Ferris to take each other.
Yeah. Well, as viewers, 100%, you know. Yeah. I want to make sense. Like, it made sense with when it was, like, Haley and George because of the final challenge. It was around, you know, George even having a chance of getting to the end to pitch and then Haley having, obviously, a really good winning pathway. But I honestly don't understand how anyone thinks about this is a principle. Like, it's simply just not a wavelength that I can get behind.
Sometimes I don't even believe it. Sometimes I don't even believe when I hear, like, other players say, like, oh, I would love to go to the end with the best. Like, I'm like, really? Because then you might lose.
Yeah, like, I don't get it either. Is this something people believe for real?
I don't know if it's real.
Are they trolling us? Because it makes no sense at all in any way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the idea is that, like, if you start taking out all the best play, it really is just comes down to timing, right? Like, timing, because if you take out all the best players too soon, then you're considered the best player and then you go, or you're the biggest threat and you go, and then you don't even make it to the end.
Well, that's strategically. Like, I do get it strategically. For someone like Kirby, strategically, this makes all the sense in the world. I think she beats anyone. I think she beats Ferris. I think if Ferris wants to go to the end with her and she can convince him that we're beating the best and we're going to be the final two and, like, the final whatever.
Sell him the dream. Sell him the dream.
100%. And if anyone wants to take her, she should be all for it because I think that she'd beat anyone. So for her, it makes so much sense strategically. I just wish she wasn't in confessional also clearly showing that, like, this is something she just wants as a principle, because I think it was the great Jean-Michel in Survivor South Africa who said to beat the best, you vote them out. That's also beating someone. Like, if you win, you've beaten everyone. It doesn't matter how it happened. I always say, you know, like, the check's going to clear. Either way, you don't get more money for sitting next to someone more quote unquote impressive. And all of that stuff is so subjective anyway. Like, it gets into kind of the deserve of it all. And you know, look, we probably all do that a bit on our own metrics, but it does not stack up to anything to want to do that. I mean, you can say it from a, you know, a respect standpoint. I think Ferris says a little bit of that. Like, the jury might be like, okay, you were brave. You know, you went up against it. But also, the jury will be more, like, it may be more impressed and maybe vote for you, but they also have more competition. Maybe they should be a little bit less impressed with you. Like, okay, well, you know, you were cowardly to take out this person, but also I have no other option. So that's great. Also, I think a lot of jurors might look at it like, that was a good move. You took out the best. Congrats to you. And some people might look at it as a stupid move. Like, oh, you went to the end with someone so strong. That makes you look manipulated. That makes you look weaker. So I think juries can take it in different ways. I, as a juror, would be like, why have you made this bad decision? Like, that would make me think less of you, let alone having better competition next to you for the way that I would be as a juror. So yeah, I don't think it makes sense from a principal standpoint, but yeah, strategically for Kirby, I think it makes sense. And then for Ferris, like, I don't think that Ferris should definitely not take Kirby to the end. 100%, he will lose. That would be a terrible, terrible decision. It would be really bad. So it becomes the timing of how far he's going to take her. And yeah, I mean, I think the fact that she's won out to this point to get to a final five with her isn't terrible. If it's a final three, he's in a pretty good spot. If it's a final two, he might need to take her a little bit further, maybe something like a final four, and then just, like, at a point, hopefully have Ray, hopefully have that loyalty, maybe rely on challenge wins in what has now become a pretty even challenge field because all the challenges.
Yeah, how good is he? How good is he in challenge?
Yeah. I mean, how good is Kirby? Because we don't know. Yeah. We haven't seen, from an endurance standpoint, she says she hasn't been giving it her all. So that's the risk. He should take her. He can take her pretty far, I think, but he also has the outs to not, but he should definitely not take her to the end. But if Kirby, like, if Ferris is willing to take Kirby to the end, like, yeah, she should ride that all the way to the end, but she should not do it because she wants to beat the best, because that does not stand up to anything.
Yeah, no, but it seems like that's what she, that's her philosophy right now. But again, she might just be saying that to him. And also her mind might change, you know, like she might be thinking about it a little bit more, processing it. And then like, once it gets like to, we don't even know if it's a final three or final two. I was going to say like once it gets to three, they know, she might realize like, nah, yeah. I don't really want to duke it out with the best.
Yeah.
Screw that. Let's get rid of Ferris kind of deal. But I do think that the timing is going to be like important if the intention for either Ferris or Kirby is to like get rid of the other, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll have to, cause I think as soon as they cut the other one, they're going to become the big target.
Well, for Kirby already,
I mean, they're already the big target. Like,
yeah, well, she's for Kirby, I think it's target. Different. Like with her as the primary target. And with her, I think who would beat Ferris? Like she should just cling onto Ferris for as long as she possibly can. And
yeah.
It's unfortunate for her that Raymond, I thought, brought Ferris back really well to the fact that, like, no, don't go to the end with Kirby. That would be awful. So, but yeah. If she could have pushed that, I think there would have been a lot of merit there for her. I think it's less so for Ferris. For Ferris, it's just all about timing of being that like second threat, which is very interesting because he is, it seems, targeting Kirby here in these rounds, and she wins immunity. Like, do you think that is a good point for him to be targeting her, or do you think he should be waiting further and protecting her through these rounds without the need for her to win immunity because of the kind of timing of the shielding that we're talking about?
I mean, I think so. His idol runs out at 5, right? His idol runs out. I think right now, oh, this is like going to get into predictions, so just never
mind. No, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into prediction, but I think like it would be smart for him to, right? Like he could play his idol and try and keep Kirby. I think he should try and keep Kirby at 5. And then depending on if then she can go out at 4. And then if it's a final 3, then he's made the final 3, right?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a little that rich for my blood.
It is.
I don't know. Risky, that's very far. Like, this is why I feel like I'm fence sitting, because I feel like it's interesting. But I also just feel like Ferris, almost any decision he makes here is fine for me because he has so many outs. Like, I see what you're saying and taking her really far. It's dicey, but it's really interesting. And if it works out, it does get him like to a win to take her like really far. And he does need to rely on so many other things like Raymond or immunity wins, maybe just for a round or so, depending on like final 2 or final 3. But like, yeah, if she wins that one challenge, then he's lost the game. So that's not great. But I think, yeah, but it's interesting. But it is interesting because again, he's just relying on her losing. It's fascinating, but
yeah, I think you only leave like, I don't know, this is what I did. I only left like one round for me to be potentially like voted out, I think.
Yeah.
You know, when I cut Cody, so I really only left one round where it's like, okay, my close allies and shield is gone, and
yes,
there's only one more opportunity for them to actually vote me out.
Obviously
fire making happens, but that's something that Ferris doesn't have to worry about.
Well, but Ferris has different outs in ways where if he had, like, say she was vulnerable at 6 and he takes out Kirby at 6, like, he still has his idol at 5. So that's a round that doesn't count because he's immune. Yeah. And then depending on final, if it's a final 3, then that is basically just one round. Like a final 6 would have just been. And if it's a final 2 or if they don't know, he could be relying on a final 3. If it's a final 2, if he can get through final 5 with Raymond, then he possibly does have fire at final 4. So that's a bit of an out there anyway. Whether it's actually a final 2 or a final 3, that he could have fire at 4 with Raymond's loyalty in the hope of that. And then it's like one round, then it's like one challenge. So he has kind of outs in these ways, and he has taken out challenge threats to hopefully push himself to a place where he could win challenges. So for me, it's not as much about like the one free round. It's about like how many outs do you have in each round if you're going to take her out earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think that he does have some of those outs. So I do think that it would be okay for him to target her around this kind of like middle end game stage, but I also think taking her pretty far is fascinating. It could go very very badly. It could go very very well. High risk, high reward.
They keep taking each other further and further than I thought they would, so
it's so interesting. I love Ferris's position the same way that I, you know, enjoyed yours, because I think it is such a complex, interesting way to be like, you're a big threat, you would be such a big threat, but you do have the shield. So you, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're having to deal with both things. Like, someone who you don't want to sit with at the end, because Kirby's path is clearer. Like, win out, get to the end, like, you're the biggest threat. Other people need to just take out big threats. That's also a clearer path. But that middle position of, like, you are threatening, you need the shield, but you also need to take out this big threat. It's such an interesting, you know this, I don't need to tell you. Your whole game is based on it. It's fascinating, though.
Yeah, Kirby is such a gift to Ferris at this point, because I feel like if Kirby was not there, like, honestly, maybe, was it Alex that was the gift at this point? Like, because I feel like after that tribal, everybody was like, after Alex blew up, everybody was like, just fully recognized, like, Kirby is the it player, right?
She's that girl.
All the attention off of, right? Yeah. All the attention off of Ferris. And so just a gift for him, honestly.
Yeah. And look, they're both a gift to us. I love that shot of them at night at 3 a.m, both covering their faces. I said this in my my recap that I did on Template, but I'm like, she's his nemesis, but emphasis on sis. That's like what they, because they have this like sibling dynamic. I mean, not my sibling dynamic. I don't feel like I take as many shots at my brother. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I love the dynamic. Can we talk about their dual reads in this episode where I like Kirby's clocking Caroline's pitch, which I love. It was great. It was not great for Caroline, but it was so good. And Ferris clocking the Women's Alliance was such an incredible moment. Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
It was upsetting. It was upsetting because every round, they're like, every season, it's like there's a Women's Alliance. And there was. So he was right. But it's so unfortunate that he was. It really gave credence to all the times that people put the thread on that. And sometimes it's not even true, but this time it was.
That was a very slick move, too. He's just, like, brings it up to Caroline, and she just confirms it. And he's like, well...
She's lying.
That was right.
Yeah. I do think, for in Caroline's defense, Kirby isn't all in with Caroline. Like, she is playing both sides. We see her in this, like, beat the best mentality with Ferris. She is offering the girls, like, you know, a pathway with her. So she is playing both sides, but it's not in the specific way that Ferris painted it on Kirby. But it was just a cool move, because I do think that, like, the thing that Kirby and Ferris have had is, like, these just very, very good reads. They've had a lot of things, but I think that's been, like, a really big through line of both of their games. So to see that and them, like, matching each other in that way, and the fact that they've, like, gone toe-to-toe and taken out each other's allies and, like, traded these hits, like, it's just been such a fascinating dynamic by two players who do some things better than anyone, but like, together and apart, which is amazing.
Yeah, when they're, like, working against each other, it's fascinating. But then when they're working together, like, especially at Tribal, I think I've read, like, a comment or a tweet or something that was basically, like, speculating whether or not Kirby and Ferris have, like, hand signals. Like, whether, like, Ferris rubbing his beard is, like, a signal to Kirby that the plan should stay the same or something. Like, because they're just so in tune. Obviously, like, I think that's garbage and, like, but,
well, I mean, they do. They, like, talk with their eyes across tribal councils. Like, how are they reading each other's mind? It's like they have some sort of telepathy, which would be a very unfair advantage for them, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I don't think they're making actual hand signals to direct the vote. But yeah, there is something about their eye. Like, they just connect, and it's just, like, game over for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, and look, in the way that this is kind of for Caroline, we do see Kirby, you know, say she's going to lead kind of Caroline to this mark plan, in saying that, like, if Kirby was vulnerable, the mark plan, like, doesn't go through, but that might be, as we see, kind of based on Ferris turning Caroline around. If Kirby's vulnerable, possibly Caroline's going for Kirby regardless. I don't know if we know how much that would have worked, but it was interesting because, you know, we see kind of Caroline give the plan, but it did feel like Kirby was manipulating Caroline, in that Caroline should not be coming for Mark. Like, as she's about to kind of do with this plan in the last episode, none of the Titans should be coming for each other at all. Everyone should be coming for Kirby and Ferris. So in the fact that it would be good for Kirby to get, like, heat off her and heat off Rihanna and get, like, a buffer out in Mark, it feels like this is, like, a positive manipulation for her. Whereas for Caroline, that through line, whether it's kind of from her own wants or it's being fed to her by someone like Kirby, like, that does not feel like that's the right thing for her.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Because we're going to get to this third vote, and I feel like the Rebels have just cemented all of the power. Like, in a world where the Titans do manage to take out...
Does this get edited?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. It always sounds so perfect.
Yeah, and that is going to. Because we're going to get to this third vote, and I feel like the Rebels, particularly Ferris and Raymond, have cemented all the power. I mean, Kirby, I think, is on the way out if she doesn't win immunity. But at the point where she wins immunity, we can see the Titans are in a really, really dire spot where if what happened, as we said, with the split had happened and Ferris goes, then that's really interesting because, like, maybe Raymond comes with them and then either Rhi or Kirby don't win immunity. One of them goes. They have Rhi there as another kind of physical shield. Even if Ferris is left in with his idol and Raymond goes, he might still want to take out someone like Rihanna, who's a physical threat, and kind of, like, loosen up Kirby there. So it just would have given them so much power to do the split, but they're going to get to this vote where when Kirby wins, they are, you know, pretty much completely just against each other. And let's talk about this. Do you want to talk about Caroline's idol plan in here?
Oh my God. This was, me and my wife were both like, if this goes well for Caroline, it's going to be great. But if it doesn't, we're cringing already for her. Oh, it was very rough to watch. It feels like, so Alex, not only like in his sort of explosion at Tribal, not only, you know, painted this massive target on Kirby, but I feel like he also got in Caroline's head about making a big move to the point where, like, she wasn't even willing to tell Kitty the plan. Now, I think that was just a mistake in itself, but I also don't know her thing. I think this was, like, set up to fail from the start.
Yeah.
Because her whole idea, and maybe this gets back to them not believing that Ferris has an idol.
Yeah.
For sure. But, like, her whole idea was to convince everybody, including Ferris, or most everybody, including Ferris, to write down Mark. And then she was going to play the idol on Mark, surprise everybody there. And then send Ferris home. She was gonna, her and Mark were gonna write down Ferris. If Ferris is, like, thinking is that everybody is in on Mark and she plays the idol for Mark, why would he then not just play the idol for himself?
Yeah.
So I don't know what, like, the thinking was here at all.
Yeah, maybe it comes down to the lack of belief in Ferris's idol, but that was 100% my concern from the beginning, that there would be an idol bounce back. I mean, at the point where Ferris knows his own vote on Mark, if that had been the target, had been negated. It's crazy to think that he wouldn't play his own idol. So I thought when she was going to Mark originally that she was, you know, wanting the split. But if anything, she just was trying to prevent it going from like a one-to-one, say like Kitty Ferris vote where they'd have less power. I think we're talking about Alex getting in Caroline's head. Her target is correct. She can't let Mark or Kitty, who are the options, go. So she has to do something for sure. But where Alex got in her head was the individualism. And we just saw this with Jake, with Keturah. It's like no one else can know. It's just, it's such an interesting individual type move where you don't bring anyone in. And then if she sits next to Mark or Kitty, it's like no one knew but me. I own this fully. And I think that was the mistake of this move. I think she needs the Titans. And I think their collective power needs to work a very, very tricky pathway on this vote. Because let's workshop what can be done here, considering the fact that Ferris has an idol and on the bounce back is almost definitely playing the idol, as we're saying. There basically needs to be some sort of like minority or plurality type split, or you need to go for someone like Raymond. Let's talk it through. Let's talk it through. Let's workshop it. So, So if she plays, this is my plan, okay? And then we can talk through the pitfalls of my own plan. But then we can talk through the pitfalls of all the options because it's a really tough spot. Here's what I think. Work with Kitty and Mark. Then you have a better chance of discerning where the three rebel votes are going. Someone like Mark is in on that plan, so he can be a mole.
Yep.
Once you know that, you need to hit with the idol, which we can talk through. Obviously, you're trying to hit with the idol. And once you hit, instead of going like definitely not three on Ferris, because again, he will play the idol, you could do three on Raymond. But at the point where you're going to win out 3-0, because that's the plan, I would do a 2-1. Two on Ferris, so we have to play the idol, which he would. To be fair, probably either way, even if there aren't votes on him, in some world where somehow he doesn't play it or gets cocky, I don't know how that would happen, but then you have the one on Raymond, or God forbid he plays the idol on Raymond or anything, then you've just split. I don't think he would, but that makes sense to me. You could 3-2-1 yourself out of the game. Like if your idol doesn't hit and they've actually voted three on Kitty, now you've taken away a 3-3 tie, which we can talk through because the tie was dicey, but thoughts on my dicey plurality vote split. We've had majority vote splits. We've had minority vote splits. This is the plurality vote split.
Yeah, I know. My brain is exploding.
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely fun. Yeah. Can you imagine if it hits and then it's like 2-1 Paris, like, oh, he played the idol too, and then one on Raymond would have gone off.
Yeah, I mean, so they all loaded up on Kitty, right? So
yeah,
Ferris, Raymond, Kirby loaded up on Kitty. Mark even did. I think, like you said, like, so I think if Caroline's brings in Mark and brings in Kitty, and Mark is willing to play ball and he's gonna like clue her in, right? Like you said, he's gonna clue her in to who Ferris, Raymond, and Kirby are gonna like throw their votes on, then she can play the idol on Kitty. So those three Kitty votes are gone, they're negated. Then I think she could have even, assuming, like, she could have done something where, like, two votes. I mean, man, could you do a 1-1-1?
Well, like, you can't. One vote on.
Well, no, like, if she wanted to really, like, be, like, I don't know. No, there's no reason to do this. I was going to say she could.
The 2-1 is already pretty.
She could vote Mark. Mark.
Yeah. No, well, Mark, at that point, like, Kitty's a reunion.
I was saying that Caroline could vote Mark, and then Mark could vote Ferris, and Kitty could vote Raymond. crazy we could get with it.
I think the 2-1, like, there's something there. Like, the only thing that you lose on the 2-1 is obviously by splitting your votes, you lose the hope of a 3-3, right? And you might 3-2-1 yourself out of the game. That's not great, but I've worked through the tie. If you go, say, the 3-3 and you play the idol correctly, you either, so you say you play it correctly, then you vote 3 on Ferris. Now there's a 0-0 rock draw. And you go back to a tie where you vote for Raymond, Ferris is immune, Kirby's immune, and they're going to vote for one of you, and Caroline's going to get auto-rocked out of the game, or Kitty, or whoever's left out, or they have to turn on them. So because Kirby's immune, they lose power in this rock draw. And if two idols are played, everyone on that other side will be immune. So 3-3 for them could be very, very dangerous. Or your idol hits, you vote 3 on Raymond, he hasn't had the idol played on him, you win 3-0. At that point, you might as well have 2-1, because all three of your votes have worked and theirs have been negated. So you went out. So at that point, you might as well 2-1. The interesting thing that could happen is if you play the idol, say, on Mark and they voted for Kitty, at that point, Ferris might play the idol out of fear. He doesn't do that in what we saw. Like, he knows his vote wasn't negated, so he doesn't play the idol. But say he does out of fear, and we'll talk through Ferris's decision. Again, you're screwed. At the point where they have three immunities, Kirby's individual immunity, Ferris's idol, and whoever's on the 3-3 vote, your side is done. But if it misses and Ferris then is like, well, I won't play the idol, which is actually what happens, like your idol, the idol missed and Ferris didn't play the idol, now you're going to a 1-1 tie. That's still not a great situation. Like, that's the only thing your three unified votes gets you. That's why I think that the 2-1 is interesting, because the 1-1 tie, assuming that your idol has missed, you would counterintuitively need your idol to miss so that Ferris doesn't play his own idol, so that you go to a 1-1 tie in even immunities where Kirby's immune and like Mark or Kitty or whoever Caroline's played the idol for is immune, and then two people are voted for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the danger is in Ferris also playing the idol.
Make it, just to be clear, so the 2-1 is like clearly the optimal choice here, right?
It's dangerous, like, but I just think it's effective. I think that you're trying to
actually do something.
Yeah, because it relies on the power of your information of three, really discerning where the vote's going, hitting with the idol and splitting the vote. There's something active there. If you get it wrong, you're out. You're going all in and you might be out. But the other way of doing it and putting all your three on one person, you can't vote for Ferris. The three could only be on Raymond, but you want your idol to hit and put three votes on Raymond. You might as well 2-1. Or you want your idol to miss, which is so counterintuitive. So Ferris doesn't play his own idol just to get you to the benefit of the 1-1 rock draw. That's not that good. So you're on. Is this what I'm saying? Is what I'm saying making sense? I think it's just it's effective to try and work out who is the vote on. Play the idol and 2-1 them out the game. That's it.
Yeah. No. I don't. Is there even a danger with the 2-1 idea? Like, I feel like as long as she clues in Mark and Kitty, Mark had enough like information from them. He had the right information to be able to help her out and tell her, you know, who the votes were going on, right? Like, so she could have correctly played the idol on Kitty. And then, like you said, like the 2-1 approach is like, let's put two on Ferris and one on Raymond in case he, Ferris plays his idol, which he would. I think he would. Like, if they played the idol correctly on Kitty, right? He's jumping. Like, he's jumping out of his seat and he's playing the idol. And then, like, then you have the one vote going on Raymond, and there's no danger in that. I feel like that's like the optimal choice there, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't do three on Ferris. Like, if you win, then he's playing the idol on himself.
Yeah. No.
So at that point,
Mark gives you the right information. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you could do three on Raymond, but at that point you might as well 2-1. If your idol's going to work, you might as well 2-1. You just might lose a very, very bad 3-3. Like, the danger is that the rebels are all lying to you and their target, you know, isn't with any of, like, you know, Mark's got the wrong information, and then you 3-2-1 yourself out. But again, you've lost very little. You've lost like a really like bad tie that anyway, the only way that you could even get that tie is if Ferris doesn't play his idol, which he might do anyway, and then you're done. So you need so many things to happen to even get to a pretty bad situation. I just think it's more effective to just try hit with the idol and then just do the 2-1. Like, I know it seems so risky, and yet in a world where you play the idol on Mark and they put three on Kitty and the information to Mark was wrong, or what, you know, or they're voting for Mark, that's why they're lying to Mark, because they're voting for him. At the point where that information is wrong, you look so stupid for 3-2-1-ing yourself out of the game. But I think the risk was probably worth the reward, and there's something there. And on like the power of the three of your combined information gathering, I think you could get hopefully a lot done and then go all in on this like kind of insane plan, but it's less crazy than you think about it when you think about how bad that 3-3 is and how dangerous it is that, with Kirby immune and Ferris possibly immune, like your three might be done for anyway. I think go for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like this makes sense. It makes sense in my head.
No, I'm getting it. I think like my instinct would be like the 2-1 regardless. Like, that would be my instinct, would be to, obviously we're like the outside looking in kind of deal, so we know that like the information that Mark had was right. I don't feel like there would be any reason to doubt the information that Mark had, unless you, like you said, he was the one getting targeted. But it seemed, and I think it seemed from the episode too, that like Mark would have been willing to work with her, right? Like, after the vote and Kitty goes home, he even says like,
I you should have told me.
Yeah. I mean, look, told me. At the point where he's going to be immune, like, definitely, you know, they could all gain a lot here by this plan working and taking out at least Ferris's idol and Raymond, if not Ferris himself, which I think probably would be tough because, again, yeah, if the idol's working, which they need it to do, he's probably playing his own. But they could have gained a lot of things here. For Mark, it might be pretty risky to 3-2-1 himself out of the game. Might not be something that he necessarily wants to do to even gain power here if, like, the idol's going to be played on Kitty, if Mark's giving that information and he really thinks that Kitty is the target. But if he really thinks Kitty is the target, then, like, that, like, then, yeah, we're protecting Kitty. And if Kitty's not the target, then they're coming for you, in which case there should be some sort of counter plan. But I guess they would, yeah, then you'd want the 3-3. So is this getting way too confusing?
No, I mean, I also don't think you need to tell everybody that you're going to do the 2-1, like if you're on the Caroline, Kitty, and Mark side.
Yeah, like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, Mark's like, yeah, we are going 3-3, but then just
one. Yeah. If there is any hesitancy, like, on anybody's part, like, you don't have to, like, tell them that you're going to be the one stray vote on Raymond.
Like, true. Yeah, that might be better for Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to protect him with your idol and it looks like the target's going to be on him, like, you should tell him that because that's going to keep him probably feeling a lot better about working with you if he feels like he's going to be immune. But I think that Mark, yeah, could have got into a plan like this and maybe the 2-1 would have made him nervous if he's going to be vulnerable and the idol's played on Kitty. But as you're saying, you could just split that yourself. And yeah, if Mark goes on that, then Mark goes on that. That was unfortunate.
Yeah. Do you think that if she would have, like, came to him with the idol, like, idea, like, I'm gonna play this idol on you tonight kind of deal, do you think that he would have told her, like, play it on Kitty?
Maybe if his read was that good on it. I think that he probably saw the combined power that they could have here. I do. And I think that he's trusting his read, because I want to talk about Mark's decision here, because numerically what Mark is being given is like a 4-2 vote on Kitty or a 3-person vote on Ferris. Like, that's what Caroline goes to Mark with, which isn't a great plan for him, as we've discussed. But
can we go to rocks?
Yeah, like, then they, like, we're going to go all in on this, like, not great plan. He doesn't know about any idol or anything like that.
Oh, this is so much like, this is very Jake Katura then, because, like, Jake's whole thing throughout his season was like, let's go to rocks.
Yeah, 100%. This was stupid Jake coded. Jake would love this season. They threaten rocks every single, we're going to go to the tie every single tribal. I wonder if he's enjoying this season. I don't know if he's watching, but numerically for Mark, he actually, purely numerically, like, he should vote in what he thinks is a 3-person Ferris plan. Because if he's a possible target and he's, as he said, like, fighting for survival, if the rebels, the three rebels and the Titans, Kitty and Caroline, are all against him, he's losing 5-1. If just the Titans are against him, then it doesn't matter what he does. Like, he doesn't need to pile a fourth vote onto Kitty. Kitty would be 3-2-1 out of the game anyway. It doesn't have to be a 4-2, so that's fine. If they're both telling the truth, then it's 3 against Ferris, 3 against Kitty. He could flip on the reboot. The only way that it could be bad for him is the loophole is if, like, the rebels are lying to him and he's the target by voting for Kitty. If the Titans really were voting for Ferris, then he's lost the 3-3 and he 3-2-1 himself out of the game. So numerically, he technically should attach himself to what he is being told is a 3-person Ferris vote, because that's the only thing where he can save himself or get to a tie that has, like, any meaning in his vote. But I do think that Mark has kind of said on social media, and it does seem clear, like, Caroline is lying to him. And this was similar to the Jake Couture thing. She could sense something was off. And Mark probably could too. And he's reading that the rebels are telling him the truth. They're going to end up going for Kitty. So that kind of read is the kind of thing he really could have utilized with Caroline. Like, if he's really going on this on the trust rather than the numbers, where it makes sense for him to go with rebels who he's reading at telling him the truth and voting for Kitty, yeah, that's the kind of thing they could have weaponized hardcore to play the idol on Kitty and really get something done. If he's feeling that good about it, that, again, he's willing to then vote with it. If he's presented with another option and he can use that read, they save Kitty, and they 2-1 Ferris Raymond. I really feel like that's the play.
Yeah, I did see. So he tweeted, like, just shortly before we started, saying, like, my Ray monitoring strategy was proving effective. If Ferris didn't update Ray after our strategy discussion, the vote was still on Kitty.
Yeah. So I think his read is interesting. I think we've gamed it. I think you do the 2-1, but you tell Mark you're doing 3-3, so he doesn't feel as worried as someone who's going to be vulnerable at that point where they're playing the idol on Kitty. You're like, we're going to do this. We're going to 3-3 Raymond out the game. You tell them Raymond because of the Ferris issue, but then you 2-1. I think that's it.
Caroline still gets to do her individual thing that she wanted to do. But
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Being the one of the 2-1. And then
if you 3-2-1 mark out of the game at that point, it's not great. But like, he's still there and Kitty's still there. And that's okay. And
is it better than what happened? I feel like it's probably better than what happened.
Yeah, I think so. It wouldn't be great in other ways. You've played the idol on Kitty. So yeah, Mark would go home. They're voting 3 for Mark. Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. Yeah, but in the world where it works, I think it's phenomenal. And I just think, the 3-3, there just isn't enough there to put 3 votes on Raymond in the hope that Ferris doesn't play his idol. You miss on the idol. Ferris doesn't play his idol. And now you're at a 1-1 rock draw at best. So minimal for me. I think we've gamed it. I think it's good. But this is the interesting thing. So Ferris doesn't play his idol, which is, again, what they would be relying on if they're going to miss, which they do. Caroline does miss. It's the wrong target. Was this really ballsy? Was this really, really ballsy? Like, he knows his vote's not going to be negated. But, yeah, again, even just the Titans coming against him, is there any reason where, like, you know, maybe he should be playing his idol as well?
I mean, it's crazy that he's hung on to it as long as he had. I think he probably had. Ferris honestly has just insane reads on everything. I've been like absolutely impressed with his ability to just read when things are happening, like at tribal or at camp, and just be able to like make split decisions and things like that. I think that he's trusting his reads at this point because they've been so on point. And so he knew his vote was getting negated. And I think that he didn't sense anything off with the people that he was voting with. And so, yes, absolutely scary. And a lot of players would have jumped up and threw their idol out there. But I feel like we're watching somebody who's really good at playing Survivor play.
100%. Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, he knows that there's 3 non-negated votes on Kitty. So it's not about, obviously, any type of bounce back. For me, it's about a possible rock draw. Like, if Caroline's doing something, playing an idol on Mark, are the Titans united? Are we going to a 3-3? Am I now going to have to draw a rock if they voted for Raymond, which was saying could have been a plan, and now I could have used my idol and not been in this not great predicament of drawing a rock against one other Titan? That's a reason I do it, but I also agree with you. I feel like he's probably reading Mark pretty well. Like, it's all on then, like, is Mark with you? And even though he's having an idol played on him, I do kind of credit Ferris's read, even though with only 1 round left, I would be like, this seems dicey. Something's going on. Our 3 votes might work, but where are the other 3 votes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he could have totally gone, like, in some alternate universe, he goes home and we're all laughing at him because he could have played his idol.
In an alternate universe,
yeah. This is the universe where he's like, absolutely shouldn't have the reads that he's had, and he is just like, he said it at tribal one time, I read you all, like, did he say effing book? I think he's really trusting his reads, and it's panning out for him.
If he goes here, it's not on getting 3 votes, because then again it goes to, I don't, like, Raymond's not flipping on him, Kirby's immune, so it goes to a 50-50 rock draw if they voted for Raymond. And then he goes home where he didn't have to be a part of that because he could have played his idol. And would we be laughing at him, or would we be like, that was unfortunate. That was a lot. So it would have had to go pretty badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had 3 votes of 6 locked in. Like, he knows that. Yeah. And he knows they're hitting on Kitty. So ballsy, but great, honestly, from Ferris, I felt. I know that vote was confusing, and I hope that what I was saying worked for people and made sense. But let's talk about some predictions, Jesse. Let's look through to the final week, because I assumed that final 3 was a juror removal. They did it last season. I wasn't low on it. I feel like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It made sense for me, because there's not really any days left to do any other big multi-day kind of non-elim. Made sense that it would just be like a day round that would be like a challenge, and then a tribal council, the same as a vote. This is what I thought. But then, so Valeria in Mike Bloom's exit interview that he did for me last week on my own channel, I missed this. And then I saw it on Twitter. She did say top 2, and people were kind of clinging to that. I don't know with Valeria, like, how big a fan is she? Has she seen like one other season that had a top 2 and is just kind of like mixing up the terminology? Is this the only thing Valeria's ever seen and she saw one top 2? not super sure. I mean, to be fair, Valeria could be the juror that's removed, so she doesn't even know what ends up happening. So, but then also, this is the big thing for me, there are like TV guide descriptions that indicate that there will be a final two. I don't know if I'm just like clinging on to hope because I want it to be a final two and I would love every part of that. But now I feel like we have to look at the predictions from both a final three and a final two perspective. And yeah. I think it's worth doing that. So let's talk about the, if it's a final three, who do you think has the best chance here? What's the kind of order you see of who is in a winning position? And then we can work down from there.
I mean, Kirby wins in like any combination. I think that's probably, we can jump right into that and just say like any combination of a final three for Kirby takes it at this point.
Yeah. But Kirby has the toughest road to get there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we trying to decide who we think is going to make the final three?
I think we should decide who is most likely to win and talk them all through in a final three order and then adjust for a final two.
Who is most likely to win?
Who's your winner pick right now if it's a final three?
Kirby.
Kirby? Wow. All in. All in on Kirby.
I'm all in. I don't want her to go. It's been a lot of fun watching. Let me try and be realistic, okay? Let me set my feelings aside here. Yeah. Who do you got? Who do you got? This is hard for me.
I had Ferris first for a final three. Okay. I just think if it's a final three, Kirby's gone at five. Or not, he could take it to four. Dicey, but he could. Then he's just relying on Kirby losing. He's fine through final five. He has Raymond, who is a fan and who may have more agency than I'm going to give it credit for. I mean, I do think Raymond could turn, but he has possibly Raymond's loyalty to get through like a fire at four. He could win a challenge. I think he's got a lot of outs. He's going to five with basically two kind of social options in Kirby and Raymond, shielding Kirby and Idol, the ability to win challenges. I just think he has the most outs. And I think he beats anyone but Kirby, who is likely to go within the next couple of rounds. So Ferris for me in a final three is definitely my top pick. I feel very good about Ferris at that point. In a final three, I would then next put Kirby because she basically has to win two challenges and she's won the game. She just did win two challenges. She's won three of the last four. So clearly it's something she's capable of. It's a shorter run than to a final two. And I do think she beats anyone. So those are my top two. And then we can talk through if like Kirby goes at five and Ferris goes at four. I think that's a very interesting final three tribal
council.
That
is a fun final.
But that's my order. Do you see Ferris in that way with a final three, or like are you still higher on someone like Kirby?
I think this might be like just me wishing at this point, but I do think that Kirby could be able to convince Ferris to take her further if she doesn't win immunity, right? With that's this true. Whole, you know, let's beat the best. Let's be the best at the end. We've had this whole story, this whole season. Let's like just finish it out at the end together. I do think that she could convince Ferris of that if she slips up and doesn't win immunity. Then Ferris would have to convince Raymond to get on board with keeping Kirby probably, which then that might cause a divide and that might be actually pretty hard. But so far Raymond has been pretty loyal to Ferris. So it does get dicey there, I think, but, yeah, that does get dicey, actually.
Raymond has given a lot of clarity to Ferris around, like, no, don't do that with Kirby. So I think that it is possible that Raymond might be a bit of a stopping point there, because you're saying that for someone like Ferris, there is a lot of merit in taking Kirby through to a final four, even if it's a final three, and then just relying on her losing that last challenge. I mean, then you don't even have any round to get through. Like, that is the kind of closest you can take it, the dicey spot to take someone like Kirby. So Kirby could rely on that and then just win one challenge. But a lot of it would come down to Raymond. And you're right, that might not be there. So I do think she kind of probably needs to win a couple of challenges, which she could.
But I
still put that behind Ferris because I think Ferris has more options. I see Ferris having more space and still a great capacity to win at the end against anyone else.
Yeah. So at the risk of being boring and agreeing with you, I think I've just convinced myself that Ferris is probably number one in terms of getting the final three and winning. And then Kirby, and now we're on the same page, which is probably boring. But
Well, I think
convinced myself that
it's good to get to some consensus. I mean, Kirby, he did well in, like, I think, you know, convincing it seems to go for Kitty over Mark. A lot of that did seem like kind of like revenge based for Rihanna, because everything in this season is revenge. But she did, like, this was, I felt like, a real culling of physical threats through this week: Alex, Rihanna, and mm-hmm. Kitty. So it's a pretty even physical field now. So if Kirby can kind of capitalize on that, there's something there. And then if we get to a final three of Caroline, Mark, and Raymond, how do you order these three? Because I feel like for me, it's kind of different in game and by edit for the three of them. And I'm trying to kind of manage both. But yeah, I mean, how do you see, like, how would Caroline do in a final three with Raymond and Mark sitting next to her? Because I think we both agree, like, Ferris and Kirby beat them all. But yeah, if they're, yeah, the three of them are together in a final three, how do we kind of look at that?
Is Mark hiding in plain sight?
Somebody
tweeted at me.
Yeah.
That's what somebody tweeted earlier, which it could be. I mean, I don't think he's... There's no moves that I feel like he, like, has, like, has his stamp on, really.
The Jaden move?
Was it?
Yeah, he's the one who pulled over Raymond at Tribal Council. I mean, look, a lot of it relied on Rihanna not getting the message, but, like, I think that was his move.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see him having... I think what just happened with Caroline is really rough. For that to happen this late in the game, I think that those kinds of things, is the closer they happen to final Tribal Council, the more weight they carry.
Very bad.
And this looked really rough for her. And I think it's very easy for people to, and maybe this is just because we watched her confessionals and we saw, like, we could see the effect that this whole resume talk had on her, like, in her confessionals. But, like, I could see people just pointing out, like, Alex got in your head, or, like, you know, like, something, you kind of spiraled a little bit. So I see her having a tough time winning even in a Mark Raymond final three with her. A tougher time. I honestly would probably put her at the bottom just based off of this last episode.
Based on game, I do think that's true for Caroline. On edit, it's hard for me to see Raymond winning. He had three confessionals 5 weeks in. I know I've gone on about how confessionals aren't everything, but that is historically low. The lowest ever in Australian
Survivor. But he talks at camp.
But he really doesn't, actually. Not as much. I mean, look, you know where Raymond comes alive? The secret scene, voting confessional, extended scenes. Yeah. That's Raymond's time, skipping to the voting booth. But he doesn't really get as much at camp. I mean,
why do we love him so much then?
Because he's kind of like the aloof, like, bit character, you know? He's like poochy, and then, like, but he's not, I don't think he has been pivotal. I don't feel that's been the vibe. I don't feel like, oh, I know him so much better than his confessionals. Like, I know his move and I kind of get his role, but I don't feel like I've really gotten to know him. Caroline has, like, an opposite problem. She's got a lot of content, but a lot of it has been really negative. And then I look at it in game and I think, you know, there's two things. It's like the Dawn effect, I think she's going to get, where she was, like, emotional. People have been saying, like, the Shan effect, possibly. I think that some of it's unfair and unfortunate. And for, like, even someone like Alex, I know he had an agenda and he said in the exit, he has, like, you know, a great relationship with Caroline. But, like, to say to Caroline, what have you done? I thought was really insulting and unfair. When he was in a post-swap tribe with her, where his life was in her hands. Like, she controlled, like, other people didn't see that, but Alex did. Alex was there. And he actually was going to go home for it until there was a non-elimination. So it's kind of unfair to put that on her. That's the kind of thing that is not right. But then there's other social stuff that she has to wear, literally the jacket stuff that she's wearing. You know, the rights. We've seen kind of those social issues. I think it would be tough for her to get some votes of someone like a Jaden. Maybe even with them making up, even like a Valeria. Tough to get some votes there. And I think once you're losing some votes in what in this final three would be very, very close, if you're never going to get some votes, it's really, really tough for her. So I think she's in a tough spot. She'd obviously get Kitty, maybe someone like a Rihanna, but I think it's tough. And then sitting next to Mark, it would be very, very hard to see, for me, Mark beating Caroline in that situation where the story has been he's tried to get her out so many times and failed. So in that way, I feel like that should be a win for her. But in Mark's defense, he was meant to take out Kitty and Scott quit. That's unfortunate. He has had some wins through the post-merge. I think he might have better relationships, which is very real and relevant. And I also feel like Mark just has a thing where, like, he's a smart guy, and he just seems like a, he is, he's smart. He seems impressive. Mm-hmm. That's why Ray said that he did flip over. He's like, yeah, Mark, I'm going to do this with Mark. Like, Mark seems like he knows what he's doing.
He's a diplomat. That, he's a former diplomat.
100%. Like, that kind of final perception tribal. In a final tribal. 100%. I think he could advocate for himself very well. So, yeah, in this three, from an edit and even game perspective, even if the votes are pretty marginal, and we might get, in my perfect world, this plurality final tribal council, you know, I think he'd get Valeria. He'd probably get Alex, maybe someone like a Jaden. I think, I don't know. It's tough. But I think just on perception, I think he's winning of those three.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And yeah, I think Caroline did have, like, she hasn't had a terrible game, right? Like, she's made moves and she has things that she can say and point to. I just think that this is sort of like, having this kind of move at the end is kind of rough. And maybe people can look past it. But yeah, I think her sitting next to Mark probably has the better shot. I don't want to, I think we're going to just discount Raymond just based off of the edit. Like, yes.
Yeah, on edit, but on game. But
I will say, if it's the final three, if it's this final three, and Ferris is on the jury, is he going to be, you know, advocating for Raymond?
Yep. Eileen has been there the whole time. Eileen's, she could have been advocating. There. Yeah. Again, a couple of votes there. He might have some of that rebel difference. Like, what if Kirby or Rihanna want to vote for a rebel? Like, they'd be kind of swings in that. I don't think the perception of him really being Ferris's number two is great. But also, as you're saying, this move is a big loss for Caroline. And if Raymond can kind of speak to a little bit of a lack of agency that Mark has had through the post-merge, like, at least Ferris and Raymond with Ferris has had that one big move and has been, like, well-positioned even this week, just, like, alongside kind of what Ferris has been doing, because Caroline kind of gave her stats. So I try to work out the correct vote stats, which was a task I wish on no one, because the season is crazy. Like, I guess, you know, and I did work it through, but like, Kirby should have lost Rihanna, but it was an honor limb, or, you know, Mark should have voted out Kitty. Caroline should have lost Kitty at the merge, but Scott quit. Like, even like counting like Kirby as a loss on the winner vote, but she was prioritizing the rebels. It's been so complicated, but I did calculate it. So Kirby has 9 of 13. I'm counting, by the way, also tough. I'm counting Kirby and Ferris as correct votes on the Raymond ultimate vote play, because they were in on that.
Okay.
So I'm not counting, like, I'm counting them basically as Valeria votes. I think they're part of that. So Kirby, gotcha. 9 of 13, then Caroline 10 of 13, Mark is 7 of 13. So that's, Raymond could maybe point to that. Ferris was 10 of 13, and Raymond actually 10 of 12, because he has one fewer because he lost his vote that one time. But even then, like, is one of Kirby's losses that everyone lost their vote and then Charles went home? Like, this is a very tough season to calculate on, like, voting record, but I did count, and I might be wrong as well. I was really trying to go through today. But yeah, maybe Raymond could point to that. Raymond's actually been on the right side of a lot of votes. Like,
if Raymond
more than Ferris, season, yeah,
if Raymond is the winner of the season, that would be hilarious. I don't know how that would be received, but
yeah, how do people receive a very unlikely winner that they don't expect?
I wonder. I don't think it goes over well on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Raymond has some stuff there, but
Raymond's been hiding in plain sight.
That's what it might be, but I do think Mark has it for those three.
It's the Ala Raymond. Yeah,
the Crockeray, possibly.
Yeah, somebody help us.
It might be the Markadile. It might be that might be what Mark, it is.
That works better, so I'm going
to
go with
him. Yeah. On a pun, it seems like it's going to have to be him. So
yeah.
So we're putting it as, I think, on a game perspective, not edit, for me, on a final three, I'd do Ferris, Kirby, Mark, Raymond, Caroline. And then on a final two, how do we look at this with a final two, with an extra round for Ferris to get through, with an extra round for Kirby to get through, and with an easier final tribal council for those other three? How are we looking at that?
I don't even know how. Do Ferris and Kirby make it to the final two without just, like, completely committing to each other, like, in blood? Like, they have to, like, absolutely.
They still need Raymond.
Yeah.
I don't know. So my order on that is, I still have Ferris first, but I think his chance lessens for me 100% at a final two. Like, that's a whole other round, as we're saying, with you, with that pivotal round, a whole extra round. that could be lethal. Like, I could definitely see him being in your kind of like Rob Goddess jury spot, final juror with like another round to get through. But I still think he has enough outs, still possibly could win out some challenges, still keep Ray, still have Fires, he still has the idol. Like, again, even through three more rounds, I think I'd still put him first, but a lot less than if it's a final three. But then Mark jumps up for me, because if Kirby has to get through three, she's falling for me. I think that's really tough. So Mark would jump up, because I think at a final two against Caroline or Ray, we can talk it through. I think he has an okay time. And I think that, yeah, getting rid of Kirby, then Ferris, or, you know, someone else at a final four, even just Ferris at three, if he can get through to a final two, he has a lot of space to get there. And then I think would win against Caroline or Raymond, we can talk through. So he jumps up. Then I still think Kirby, definitely on edit, is the next most likely if it's a final two, but she has a lot of space to get through if it's a final two. And then Caroline and Ray are in a similar spot. I think Raymond would beat Caroline. So on game, I'm saying Raymond. On edit, I would say Caroline. But yeah, how do you see it with that?
I'm wondering how much there is to like the confessionals. Like, maybe it was just for these past three episodes where like Kirby's like, I'm downplaying my physical like abilities, and then she went on and won two. Is that like the story, or is she going to keep winning? And like, maybe she like goes on an absolute run, which would be, but it's unlikely, I feel like.
But if she wins three challenges, like, she would, I think she'd have the record in global Survivor history of most individual challenges won. Like, again, it's a pretty even field, but is it six immunity challenges good under pressure from the final seven on?
Yeah,
you know, like, Luke had this in 2019. Not. Like, it's pretty hard to, it's very, very hard to take it that far. But she'd have to win five in a row to get through to a final two.
What is the likelihood? I guess it's still the same situation. Like, if Kirby is able to convince Ferris, I keep going back to, like, can Kirby actually convince
Ferris? Can she get through one round that, like,
they should get to, they should go to the end together. And I still think it comes back to Raymond being the sort of, like, check on that, which is...
And even if she, and if they get through that, then if that three get through that, say in vote out, like, a mark at a final five, then even at four, she could convince him, take me down to three. You know, would they do that? Would he do that and then go with Kirby and Raymond to a final three?
Three, and then what happens then? Like, what if Ferris has to pick between?
Oh, I mean, I think he's picking Raymond, but he is relying on Kirby losing that immunity. Kirby would need him to take it really, really far, really, really far.
Yeah.
So there are, like, that's the big thing, and a lot of it hinges on Raymond. And I don't know that that comes off. I think that a lot of what she needs is immunity wins, and I just think it's a lot. It would be historic. Which is tough. To try and get it through five and even four, it would be really tough. It would be a hard sell, probably.
I'm trying to make the math here.
Yeah, so how Kirby can win. Final three in two challenges. That's it. That's the shot.
Kirby. I think most likely it's like the order for me is Ferris staying there. I'm not gonna switch up and lose hope and drop Kirby down any further. I think Ferris, Kirby. If it's a final two situation, Raymond sitting next to Kirby loses, Raymond sitting next to Ferris loses, Raymond sitting next to Mark.
Do you want to do this, Mark versus Raymond? Because I think, like, Mark, I mean, gets Valeria, Alex, probably Caroline and Kitty. That's already four.
Yeah.
Jaden's possible, you know, Kirby and Rihanna are a bit of swings. I think Mark is in a pretty good spot, and knowing that he'd advocate for himself pretty
well. You think Mark would get, I think Mark, the advocating part is probably, Raymond would go for the, like, the witty remarks, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'd Mark love to would see be it. Laying out, Mark would be laying out this very diplomatic argument.
Yeah. It might destroy him. It might. So, like, the most aloof person versus Mark being, I think, like, very specific. Like, I think Mark would know how to sell it. So I have Mark against Raymond, and then Mark against Caroline. He gets, again, Valeria, Alex, Jaden. She gets Kitty, and then you have, like, the four rebels as swings. Well, five rebels, actually. Raymond, Eileen, and Ferris. And Kirby and Rihanna in these two titans. And again, I think perception might be the best thing Mark has in that So I feel like he beats Caroline.
Yeah, I think we're going, for me, I think my order is Ferris. In a final two, it's going to be Ferris, Kirby, Mark, and then I don't want to put
Caroline. Well, who wins in a Caroline-Raymond final two at that point?
I don't know. I think Raymond gets Ferris. He gets Eileen. He gets
Jaden, Valeria. Probably Alex. Like, that's already a winning. That's already, he's already won.
Yeah. So Caroline's last. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferris, Kirby, Mark, Raymond, Caroline for a final two.
Yeah. As you're saying, really tough to get a loss like this at the final six, where it's the inverse of what you wanted. You wanted this big, impressive individual move, and instead you got a really unfortunate individual loss, like really close to the end. That's so, so tough. That's a really, really tough one to argue.
I mean, to try and do this flashy thing and then your best ally goes home.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Really, really unfortunate. So that's it. I think we've kind of got that on the order. I think I'm looking ahead, and I think Ferris just had a great week, and I think that he has bought himself a lot of capital going into the final week. And on that note, should we get to the Chizzy? You're a Chizzy winner. Do you want to hand us some Chizzy points?
Yes. Do I start? Do you start?
Well, first let's do the theme song. Take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Kala.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1,
I don't care.
Okay. No, you go.
You can start.
Okay. Two. No, you do. all right. Well, I felt like mine were kind of simple this week. I'm definitely giving 3 to Ferris. It's not a question mark for me. The fact that he wasn't targeted really, other than by Caroline, which did not come off clearly. The way he's using Kirby, I think it all makes sense. It's all been good decisions. He has his idol. He kept his idol through the week. Insane. Ballsy to keep it at the final 6, but he did it. And it worked out. And he was reading something, I think, really well. He's taken out physical threats. So he's now, you know, getting to a pathway that might be physically more even for him. And also, this was underrated. This was right at the very beginning of the week. But he's been keeping the lie that he was part of, like, the Raymond move. So that's interesting, because that could be like a good final tribal council reveal, and it helped his social game through this week possibly. So even that is impressive. And then I'm going to give 2 votes to Kirby for winning those 2 challenges, even though she lost Rhi, and even though she should not be so blunt, and even though she shouldn't be this big a target, and that's on her, and she did not manage her threat level. That's the Kirby way. She has set herself a very hard task, one that I've said before about Kirby, like she should not be able to achieve the task, but then she surprises me. So if anyone can do it, it probably is Kirby. Winning those 2 challenges to get through the week, I'm impressed by it, and I'm going to give her 2 points there for getting out Kitty. She seems to be leading a lot of that. Made sense. I'm giving her 2 points. And then I'm going to give a point to Raymond. He had control with Ferris. They were the ones on the right side of you know, changing votes, even though it felt like they could have been a target on them. It should have been that split vote target that they were talking about at the spa, which no one was ever doing. That was the plan. That was the right plan. So, you know, there was never anything there. I think that there is a pathway to the end. The thing about Raymond as well, we need to talk about this, you know, when we talk about final tribal council matchups. If he's a big part of taking out Ferris, of having that final move, kind of like you did with Cody, of like, I've cut him, that's a big one. To add that to what happened with Valeria, and I cut Ferris, that could maybe even put him over the top into final 3. It certainly is helping him at a final 2 against Caroline. And against Mark, again, yeah, it would be an interesting pitching battle. It would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, if he can really claim that, and that's his move because Ferris was his friend, if he takes, you know, Ferris out in those final couple of rounds in some way, there's something really strong there. Also, Raymond pulled Ferris back to, you know, we should take out Kirby. You don't want to beat the best. That's nothing. Because obviously that's terrible for Raymond, and also makes no sense. So he pulls him back to the sensical thing for both of them, but especially for Raymond. And I feel like it's also good that no one was that mad about him using the advantage. Like, he did come back from that, and
he bounced back. Everybody just like high fived him, which was he just like said, vote me out so I can go home. And
yeah, there's a lot there. He almost could have got 2 votes for me this week, but those are my points. So what are you doing with that, Jesse?
I think that I am going to give 3 points to Ferris because for 3 straight episodes, I was screaming, why is nobody trying to split the votes and flush this idol? And I think that just speaks to how sort of embedded he is with everybody, his relationships, his social game, the fact that he has like Kirby as his shield. He's doing an incredible job. He has these amazing reads, like you said, where he's able to,
yep,
should not be able to hold on to that idol, but he still held on to it, kind of deal.
And he fucked a girl, so that was another
So all around an amazing set of episodes for Ferris. So 3 points to Ferris. I've been trying my hardest to get Kirby to the end in these hypothetical final threes and hypothetical final twos. And so I will want to give her 2. But I actually think, just like talking through Raymond right now, I think that the fact that he has not only Ferris has Kirby as a shield, but Raymond has, you know, he's got one hand on the wheel when it comes to, you know, driving the game with Ferris and Kirby, and nobody's really going to look at taking him out. And he's able to pull off this move where everybody should really be angry at you for. Can we give him points for that? Even though it was the last set of episodes,
I mean, no, like, definitely, because
we were witnessing the fallout.
Yeah, 100%,
we were witnessing 100%. The fallout. So yeah. I'm going to go ahead and give 2 points to Raymond.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then, now that I've given 2 points to Raymond, initially it was going to be 3 points Ferris, 2 points Kirby, and then 1 point to Caroline, just because it's okay to take a big swing and miss. But I think I'm going to go ahead and give the 1 point to Kirby, because she's going on an absolute run when she needs to with these immunities, which is incredible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it's great to take a big swing and miss. It might be a game losing move. So. Well, yeah,
I don't think it's great either, but you know, I don't want to discourage people from taking big swings. We have to just think about the super fans who are listening.
Yeah.
Encourage. Yeah.
But do it better.
But do it better.
2-1. That was it. Yeah. The you know, Mark, I thought, was doing good stuff in the first episode. Like, it wasn't his fault that Alex imploded. I thought, you know, he gave him the right advice, but for all of them who aren't Kirby, Ferris, and to a large degree Raymond, it's a failure that they've made it through. Kirby and Ferris and Ferris's idol made it through this whole week. Everyone has to wear that. That's not good. Whether you've just failed in it or didn't have the intention, I can't give points to anyone else. So this is really interesting, because it means that Ferris, having won the week with the 6 points, is now on 21 Chizzy points, and Kirby's next on 16. So things would have to be pretty bad for Ferris next week, and Kirby would pretty much have to win the game to beat him in the Chizzy. Otherwise, Ferris is almost loaded up, which is interesting. Maybe he could get a point somewhere, and then she could win the game, and then it's a tie. A tie Chizzy win between Ferris and Kirby would be what this season deserves. If they can't tie the actual game, that would be perfect. Because I know people want like a Hunger Game style kind of dual win. That's not going to happen in Survivor, but it might happen in the Chizzy. So maybe something there. But
Ferris, hand them both the check.
And the Chizzy, the more important check. The Chizzy mug. Yes. How many Chizzy mugs are we going to need? There's been too many ties lately. It's a lot. Rob has to pay for all those mugs. But so Kirby is on 16, so she's 5 behind Ferris. Mark is on 13. Eden left on 9. Now Raymond has jumped up to 6 with this week. Eileen left on 5. Valeria left on 4. Caroline's still on 3. It just does not look good. It's not right, but she's on 3. Garrick left on 2. Kitty left on 1. Alex left on 1. And Rihanna left on 1. So that's where our final 5 sit. Ironically, in the order that we've given for at least the final, what I have for the final 3, kind of, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. The Ferris, Kirby, Mark, Raymond, Caroline. There might be something there in terms of the odds. But yeah, Jesse, do you have any more that you want to discuss about the season?
I don't. I mean, I think that we covered a lot of it. It's been such a fun season, just this dynamic between. And I think a lot of it does go to Ferris and Kirby and this sort of interesting sort of tango that they've been having, like, of just like firing shots at each other and then firing shots at everybody else, you know, working together to do it. It has been really fun. If Ferris does win the Chizzy, do you deliver that to him in person since he's local?
I could. I mean, he lives in my city. I've never hand delivered a Chizzy. It's not coming from me. Like, it's coming from America. I could get it delivered to me instead of Ferris and then have some sort of ceremony. Ceremony.
I think that's too close to pheromones.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I'm just trying things. Nemesis, though. That one. Yeah, when Nemesis I was like, sticks, yes, this is the thing. Nemesista. That's what she... Yeah, maybe I should. I don't know. We'll see. That'd be interesting. Even honestly, if Kirby wins, I'm in Melbourne often. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you know, I don't want Mark and Caroline to get lost because, you know, Kirby and Ferris are the best dynamic of all time. I feel bad for Mark and Caroline because they are a better dynamic than most. Like, you know, we talked about like Jake and Keturah so much. Like, in what world is Caroline playing an idol on Mark right now and doesn't work? Like, they're such a rich dynamic in and of themselves, but they're just up against the best dynamic of all time. I don't want it to get lost, though, because I love them together as well. But yeah, it's been such a fun season. And yeah, it's been just incredible. And if it's a final two, and that means we have no non-elims post-merge, and we have a final two, that would be incredible. If it's a final three, we're either getting a Ferris or Kirby winner, which is amazing, or possibly a plurality vote final three, which would also be incredible for me. I still prefer the final two, but yeah.
What's I think the there perfect are exciting things
happening.
What's for the perfect you? Ending? What's the perfect ending to the season for you, in your opinion?
I mean, in a perfect world, like obviously Ferris and Kirby sitting next to each other would be really cool. I don't see how it would happen. And part of me doesn't want it to happen because I think it would be such a big miss for Ferris. Like, what went so wrong that you're at the end with Kirby? Like, that should not happen to Ferris. And I love Ferris, but it would be great for Kirby. I remember always thinking in Brains versus Brawn, like, George or Haley would, one of them would be fifth and one of them would win. And all hell broke loose to the point of them getting to a final two in a way that made a lot of strategic sense for both of them in one of my favorite weeks in all of Survivor history. So if it could kind of make sense that that happens, do they hide another idol now that Caroline played one? Kirby could also maybe find an idol that could be an out for her we haven't discussed. But yeah, if it happens that they sit at the end together, obviously that would be like the most iconic thing ever, but it would also feel like, how did this happen and what went so badly wrong for everyone except Kirby to let her get to that point? About you? Is that what you want them as the final two?
Yeah, I think that is sort of like Australian Survivor has been promoting this season with basically their faces right next to each other. Like, are they gonna take each other out tonight? I just feel like it would, the theme of the season is those two, and I feel like to cap off the season would be great having both of them at the end throwing blows. I think it would result in like a Kirby win, but it would be fun to watch.
I'll take anything. Of Ferris win would be fun. Kirby, I mean, I love all of these people. I really do. Like, I've been rooting for Caroline. I've been rooting for Mark. I think a Ray win would kind of give question marks of the edit, to be honest. It's not Raymond's fault, but then I would have to look at kind of that winning story and how it was told. For any of the other four, I mean, I talk about it with intrigue from like a Mark's game or Caroline's game, but I love them both. Give me a final two. That's just fun in and of itself. Plurality final three. One of these amazing players winning. Like, there's a lot for me to gain next week. Honestly, I'm excited about it because there's a lot of fun stuff there. But if it's a final two, that would be phenomenal from a production standpoint. Like, other than the episode 10 twist that I hated, I would have like no production notes. That would be pretty much like perfect Australian Survivor production. So maybe that
the worst possible outcome for this season. Is there a such thing? How could we tank this season?
I don't think it can be tanked. I mean, Ferris and Kirby going at 5-4 into a final three would be kind of disappointing, especially if the final tribal council ends up not being that interesting. Like, if someone like Mark just like sweeps because of like the perception of him as like a smart, capable person, which I would love. I'd love Mark as a winner. It would never tank the season for me, but that's probably the most boring finale week.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas the final two, it's going to be interesting. And watching Ferris and Kirby get there in their own ways would be interesting. And a final three where there's like really like a heated tribal council between Raymond, Mark, and Caroline, also interesting. There's a lot of ways for this to be interesting. I can't imagine how it's boring, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way to tank this season, which is just speaks to how good it is, honestly.
Yeah. 21 episodes into what people are calling a top 5 or 10 season of all time. You hope it can't tank so hard. Like, what would happen? They all quit. They all quit at the final five. That would probably do it. That would be enough for people. But I think we can probably cement this as like a great season, which is so fun. But Jesse, thank you so much for coming on to talk with me about it. Where can people find what you're doing and what you're talking about with Survivor and otherwise?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and that's basically it. I don't post much on Instagram, but I generally post random takes on Twitter at Jesse_L_Lopez. None of my tweets are very insightful.
I'm sure it's great. Are you enjoying 46
so far? Yeah, it's been good. It has this sort of what I was saying earlier about Australian Survivor, everybody being so open at Tribal, I feel like Tribals for 46 have been also very open.
Yeah, no one's being polite anymore.
No. Something happened. I don't know what happened, but...
Yeah, everyone's just done. Done playing that. So, well, I'm talking about Survivor 46. I spoke about it with Jacques Berger for weeks 1 and 2 on Survivor Global, and I'm doing the Stockwatch Global crossover with Taryn for week 3. And then I'll probably take week 4 off because that's the finale week for Australian Survivor, and then do week 5 before I go away. This week, I'm also going to be doing more Australian Survivor coverage with the drafters who are watching, Puya, Chappelle, and Liana, who I know are all loving the season. So we just want to come give some macro takes. That'll probably also be on video. Talking Tribal is out on YouTube and Template. I don't think it's in podcast form because I think Ten's kind of changing their podcast strategy right in the middle of our season. So you can watch that on Template and on YouTube. And the exits are still to come. I'm talking to Kitty still only in a couple of hours. She could only do it later. So usually I do it before the recap, but I still have Kitty to come. I will say I loved my exits with both Alex and Rihanna. Rihanna also, she was the same with Alex, where she was just like laughing at herself and the many mishaps. And that was a really fun attitude as well. And then next week, I will do the finale with Mike and Nick, as always, and do a final check-in with Rob. More exits, many deep dives. I've planned to do a lot of deep dives on this season. So by the time I'm done my coverage, we should all be pretty sick of it. And I also wanted to say that there's a finale party in Sydney at the Agincourt Hotel, I think, where it's been before. And I will be at a couple of US viewing parties. I'm going to be posting about that. But in April, I'm going to be in Toronto. I don't have a viewing party there, but I will be in New York and LA at separate viewing parties. Unfortunately, not a live know-it-alls, but I will be watching with some fans in the US, and I'll be posting about that now that I have booked my trip in April and sorted out my incredibly stressful passport mishap, where I realized my passport was expired and had to get a new one. And now that's done. And now I am officially going to the States and Canada in April. So we'll be catching up with some fans there as well. But Jesse, thank you so much. This was such a good time to finally talk about Australian Survivor.
Yes, no, this was so much fun, and I'd be happy to come back anytime you'll have me.
You're all in on Australia and Australian Survivor now. I love it.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna visit Australia.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna apply. Come up with a fake name, some fake background information, and I'll be submitting my application to Australian Survivor.
Well, they've had American Survivor players, so you might not need to fake it. I think you'd need probably a better Australian accent.
We'll work on it. We'll workshop it.
But your Australian accent.
Yeah. I'll watch more Bluey.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, just exactly be exactly like Bluey. I can help you with my fake Australian accent. Like this accent right here, this isn't my real accent. I don't even know what my accent is, but I can help you out. But I think a lot of US Survivor players want to play Australian Survivor, so they really need to get on that international season because demand is very, very high. But this was so much fun. So thank you so much again, Jesse. Thank you to you all for listening. Thank you to our team behind the scenes, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor is a
Survivor
New Zealand.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swarm.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Adventure of a lifetime.